And so as we begin our time of study together, let us pray and ask God's blessing to be over it. Father, thank you so much for bringing us here together to worship you, to praise you, to lift up your name. And I pray right now that as we have done so far, that it is pleasing in your sight. And as we continue our study together and our time together, Lord, pray that this is pleasing. It is pleasing that we have come as one body, as one people, gathered around your word to listen to it. And in return, Lord, to live more accordance with your word, to be blessed by your word, to seek closer devotion with you because of how the word has impacted and blessed our life. Father, there are sometimes things that we feel as if we're doing great when we read your word. And there are other things sometimes where we could probably go, I could use a little bit of that. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever it is that you comfort and strengthen us. And no matter what side we stand on the issue, to use this word, Lord, to just encourage us that not only should we, Lord, do what you ask and do as your word commands just to be pleasing to you, for, Father, that's good enough reason alone. But you've also said that in doing your will, it's pleasing to us, that it renders a good and blessed life. And I pray, Lord, that you help us see that more now than ever before, that we might live a life more devoted to you today than we did yesterday. I pray that your word helps us in that way and guides us to the truth, that we live in accordance with it. I offer this prayer and this blessing over our time in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't done so already, I would encourage you to open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you, grab a pew Bible. They're there for your use. Let us put the Word of God in our hands together this morning. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6 and reading through verse 15, say this. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends upon human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you are also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done of hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him and raised with Him through your baptism and your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. We are very familiar with trees, aren't we? We see trees everywhere, trees of different kinds. You go to different areas and you find different trees. And we have them for multiple reasons. Number one, because God gave them to us because they're necessary for the sustaining of life for us and for all the creatures that live and walk the face of this earth. Without trees, all the harmful carbon dioxide would not be turned into wonderful oxygen. We need these trees for our well-being. But not only are these trees there for our physical purposes, but they're also aesthetically pleasing to our eyes, aren't they? In first service, Barry Bradley was here, and he has got the most beautiful Japanese maple that I've ever seen in his front yard. Drive by the house sometime, and if somebody asks you why you're driving by real slow, tell them I sent you. And so it won't be weird. But he's got the most beautiful Japanese maple that every year just has the most beautiful purple leaves that come out, and they become so heavy that the tree just kind of starts waving over a little bit. And we see these Japanese maples, and they look good to our eyes. But then we also have the trees of practicality, don't we? Like the great pines that sometimes grow up behind or around our homes. The great white oaks that provide shade for us. That they provide shade for our homes, but they also provide shade when we're working outside and we just need to sit down and rest for a minute under the coolness of the breeze. You get out of the sun and it kind of goes down about 10 degrees, doesn't it? Sort of feels like, at least around here now in places like Florida, like where my aunt's from that's visiting here with us, I don't think the temperature really feels much different no matter where you are down there, just hot and muggy, but a blessing nonetheless for the trees. And I especially love going down south, palm trees. Oh, I love the way those things look. I absolutely love them. I know I'm in South Carolina, the route we take to Myrtle Beach on many years. When you go through the South Carolina border, right there on the line, that's the very first place you see a palm tree. And I just know I'm getting further south. I absolutely love it. It's pleasing to our eyes. It invokes memories. And so we have this necessity of the tree, but we also, in its practicality, it's also aesthetically pleasing to our eyes. We place them in our lawns, our yards, and all around our property. But we know that some trees do better than others. Some trees just take off and grow and grow and grow, and before you know it, they're just towering over everything. And then you have other trees who seem to stay small. Now, some of them stay small because they're not supposed to grow very big, but others stay small and just never seem to really do very well. And eventually, over time, they may even be just choked out because of poor soil conditions or poor amounts of sunlight or these many other factors that inhabit a tree's growth. But again, you have some of those that just, in the right conditions, they take off, they become big and tall, and they thrive and they flourish. And they become so big that we begin to notice them, not just because they're there, but sometimes the damage that they begin to do around them. They grow so big and the root system gets to be so violent that it starts taking up part of your driveway, or it starts taking up part of your sidewalk. Or somebody I know had to redo the whole front yard pipe system because a tree had grown up and crushed the pipes, and the sewer was leaking and the water pressure was awful. And you know that tree is there when it grows that big and it grows that powerful, but yet what seems like a problem to us and what becomes bad and an issue for us, what causes us sometimes to cut those trees down, is really a good thing for that tree. Because that root system is so strong that it's busting through all these different things and causing damage to some of our property, what seems as an issue for us is really a great thing for that tree. It means that it's healthy. But like everything else, a tree has to begin its life somewhere. And like almost everything in life, it begins small. It begins with a seed, nothing but a seed. And when these seeds are exposed to the right amount of soil and oxygen, water and sunshine, the seed begins to grow. But it grows one thing in particular, and it grows down. I love how seeds know what direction to grow. Isn't that incredible? God put within them the ability to know that the roots need to go down and the trunk needs to come up. Flowers are the same way. I just think God is so incredible when He does this. But the root that goes down out of the seed first is called a taproot. Now, this taproot is what causes that tree to establish itself right where it's planted. And as long as it's there, and as long as it receives an adequate amount of good soil, oxygen, water, and sunshine, the roots will continue to grow and press their way down in the ground, continuing to firmly establish itself right where it's planted. And when the roots have gone down far enough to receive the nutrients it needs, it stops for just a moment while the top of the tree begins to take sight. The part that we see above the ground begins to grow. And then once they reach a certain point, they begin to grow together. But first the roots go down so that the trunk can be exposed. The part that we like to look at is only there because of the roots that have gone firmly into the ground. And you know the rest of the story. These pretty trees, these shade trees, But what I want to remind us of in this whole process, is that the portion of the tree above the ground will not maintain growth and health apart from the roots that are under the ground and the nutrients that those roots receive. It will not maintain health. It will not grow. There's been a lot of small trees that just never took off because of poor soil, maybe because of a contamination that happened around the tree itself. Maybe a drought occurred, maybe an insect infestation, whatever it might be, it caused that small tree to not be able to take off the way it needed to. But not only the small trees, but have you ever noticed a large tree that had fallen? Healthy and big, it looked like on the top, but now it's laying on the ground totally exposed. And you begin to find out that there were factors that played into this tree just not being able to withstand the life that it had become accustomed to. See, with poor soil conditions and a poor root system, the tree above the ground begins to slowly die, begins to show signs of death. Sometimes it comes instantly. But many times, if left unattended, these signs will become greater and more violent and more noticeable, and eventually that tree will cause a negative impact on the surrounding area when it ultimately falls to the ground. But yet on the other hand, a tree that's planted in good soil will have a positive impact on the area surrounding it for so many years and bless multiple, even generations of people. And yes, every now and again you're going to have a pipe that breaks or a sidewalk that starts to come up. But it's such a wonderful sign for that tree, because nothing can stop it from growing. No force of even rock and stone can keep that tree from growing to its full potential. We see the damage it does, but you cannot deny the strength that that tree has. You just simply can't. And so this is a parable for us. For us as Christians in the life that we live today. Let me again read verses 6 and 7, those that we will focus on most this morning. It says this: "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as though you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Be rooted and built up in Christ." You see, just as a tree grows through a continual digging in of its original taproot, so does Paul encourage us as believers to continue to dig into the depths of our faith through our original roots of Christ Jesus our Lord, whose love first took a hold of us and took a hold of our lives. How the gospel, the good news of Jesus, broke the ground of our lives that now lends itself to the fullness of God being displayed and growing mighty and strong within us. You see, this is the desire of God for our lives, that He places His love down our hearts and that we grow in the likeness of His Son. But I need to ask us, is this always the case? Is this always the case? Is this the case right now in our lives? Especially in these last days of living, as we've come to talk about, as the last quarter that we are in, as we have said. See, in these last days, Paul encourages us to be careful, to be on our guard against those who desire to see us fall. As God desires nothing less than the fullness of His Holy Spirit filling up our lives, yet the devil desires nothing more than an emptiness in our hearts apart from God. Now, I've said it many times here, and I believe it, that misery loves company. The devil is miserable because he knows that he will never have life with God like we will have when our lives come to an end. He knows that he will never be able to experience the presence of God like one day those who have stayed committed to the Lord will, those saints who have given their life to God and serve Him faithfully. He knows that he'll never have that again. And because he is miserable in the fact that he has sealed his fate, he tries to help us seal ours against God. There are so many people who sadly take a negative perspective of Satan, And they believe that somehow, in some way, when they die apart from God, I've heard it from the mouths of people that they're just going to go down and they're going to torture people with Satan. They're going to go down and torture people who they think are worse than they are, who committed more heinous crimes in their life than what they did. They think they're going to take part in the punishment of others that surround them. But this is sad, a sad reality, that even if that weren't bad enough, even worse is Satan is going to suffer. He's already suffering. He's already miserable. And we're not going to be served. People are not going to be serving alongside of Satan in hell. They're going to be suffering alongside of him in hell, where there's weeping and the gnashing of teeth. It's such a terrible place. The devil doesn't care about you. He doesn't really desire you. He doesn't really want you. The only reason he wants to have anything to do with you is because he's jealous of what you can have in God. It's like a child who just wants what somebody else has because they want to have it so somebody else can't. Ha ha, it's mine. And you can't have it. It's mine and you're not going to get it. That's what the devil is doing with God. He is taunting the Lord. When he told God himself in the book of Job that I roam around the earth like a roaring lion, seeking who I may devour. He's looking for somebody to tear apart. But when you tear something apart, there's nothing left. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about me, the devil. He doesn't care about these people who are living lives of sin, who never come to know the Lord. He doesn't care about that. He just cares that God's love is in your heart, and he can't stand to see that in you. And he can't stand to see that in me. You see, he uses the things of this world and even the people of this world to keep us from being deeply rooted in Christ. The devil is crafty. He tries to block the light of Christ from our view. He seeks to contaminate and pollute our lives with temptation. And he seeks to choke out our lives even with sin, to surround us so much in the things that bring us pain and harm that we're so engrossed that we cannot find a way out. He knows that if he can put enough bad in and around our lives, that he will kill out our root system, that he will contaminate any chance that we have of growing in Christ. But at first, the voices sound pleasing, don't they? The voices of sin, the voices of temptation, they sound nice. Because we wouldn't sin if we didn't somehow like it, right? Let's just be honest. If sin wasn't appealing, we wouldn't do it. But it's because it's appealing and it calls out to us, oh, it's not going to hurt this time. Nobody will ever know. Oh, what lies from the father of lies. But that's how he draws us in. He uses these worldly principles and ways that feel right. And he makes the shallow seem like it's even deep. But it isn't until we have a close call or we totally fall that we realize that our roots are dying, realize that we're in too far. And sad to say, some people never get the chance to notice how deep they are in sin before everything comes crashing down around them. Sometimes we just don't notice. Sometimes the other people around us didn't see it happening to us. But we started dying where it mattered. And we see the impact when we have fallen. And it's then that people begin to notice that we've fallen. They'll not only see the damage that has been done to us, but also all those around us. We wonder why it happened to us and why it didn't happen to others. Why is it me that got caught up in this and not somebody else who's getting away with everything? Why me? Well, it doesn't matter why anybody else. It matters why you. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. I can't answer for anyone else. So why me? Yes, that's the only person that you can do anything about. Why me? And it's then we need to start asking ourselves, maybe you're in that place right now of life where you feel yourself getting awful close. Are we in the shallowness of the world? Or are we deep in Christ? Are our roots just barely at the surface? Or are we deep? Are we growing in contaminated soil full of sin and strife? Or are we growing in rich soil that nurtures the Spirit of God within us, that causes us to grow in a great and mighty way? I realize we're going over just a little bit, but I've got something to say, so bear with me. I believe the Lord has something to tell you today. John chapter 15, as Alex read, I think it's so applicable to read part of that as well in my studies here. John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, read like this: I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And if anyone who does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, and they're thrown into the fire, and they're burned. Now, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Did you hear that? Apart from Christ, we are nothing. We can do nothing. Even on our best day, our greatest efforts still amount to nothing in comparison to all that God has done for us through Christ. You see, not only does God desire that we bear fruit and grow strong in His love, He makes this possible for us. Through God's revelation to us in His Word, His revealing of Himself, through the Scriptures that we read, to our moments of prayer, and even the times when God just simply, undoubtedly passes by our lives and leaves an impact, we can remain connected with Him, with our Father, firmly planted and rooted in Him. But we have to be around Him. That's the key. If you want God to bless your life, you need to be around the place where you can receive a blessing. If you're way out in left field and God's calling you home and you don't come, don't expect to get the run. Don't expect to feel His blessing in your life. You see, in Christ, we have received forgiveness of our sins. In Christ, our sins were nailed to the cross, covered by the blood, and left there forever. In Christ, we stand against the world. And sadly, the world stands against us. But yet, that doesn't matter, because in Christ, we who were dead in sin are now very much alive, as we're buried with the old man in baptism and raised as a new man through the power of Christ's resurrection. In Christ, it doesn't matter when the world stands against us. It doesn't matter in the times that they make it known that they can't stand us because of Christ who lives in us. Because it's in Christ that we learn to love the people of the world even when they do not reciprocate that love to us. And in Christ, no matter what and always, we will triumph because the cross has already triumphed over this world, over any power and authority that has been raised up or will be raised up. The cross has triumphed again and again and again, and because we're covered by the blood of the cross that dripped from our Savior's wounds, we can triumph over this world too. We can know this great power that comes from being in Christ as long as we stay firmly planted and rooted in Him, being nourished by His Word, nourished by our prayers, nourished by our connection to God our Father. Again, I need to ask us, are we rooted in Christ? Are we rooted in Christ? Are you today rooted in Christ? Are your roots shallow or are they deep? Is God's love teaching you how to stay rooted in Christ even when life's most violent storms come your way? But also, are your roots beginning to make an impact in this world? Are people beginning to notice that your roots are going out and they're going forth, that you're growing deeper in God? Is your roots in Christ beginning to make an impact on the world that surrounds us, on the people that surround us? Are we dying, church? or are we thriving? Are we dying apart from God, or are we thriving? Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for this day and all of your blessings and for bringing us here together again to fellowship, to read, to study, or to take communion, where we remember the sacrifice of your Son, all that has been accomplished for us on the cross, but also at the tomb. Lord, thank you for everything that's taken place. And right now I pray, Lord, that as your word has gone forth, let it minister to our hearts and minister to our lives. Let it speak so deeply to us that it makes an impact on us, that we might be able to make an impact on our world. That, Lord, your love is firmly rooted and planted in our hearts, that it is growing and springing up from us, and that it is making a difference in our lives and in the lives of those that surround us. Lord, I pray that each believer remains firmly planted in you, that nothing that this world can throw our way, nothing of the devil's plans can hinder us and can harm us. Lord, please, I pray that there is strength for every single believer, but I also pray for encouragement to stay close to you. It's hard, Lord, when sin comes our way, to always desire to do right. But Lord, I pray for continued strength, a greater fervor, to remember that sin hurts, but your love is a blessing, that your ways are a blessing to our life and your will is a blessing, if only we seek to follow it. Lord, help teach us that your ways are better because sin leaves us devastated. I pray for everyone who is here who needs to make a decision, whether it be for the first time to trust you, or a decision to follow you more closely, or a decision to lay something at your feet today that is hindering their life or the life of someone they love. I pray that it is not forsaken but given. Lord, I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.